here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
Well, what is up, side hustlers? I hope you're having an amazing day. And shouts out to all of you. We are in 112 countries all over this beautiful, beautiful planet, sharing the mission and the vision that, yes, you can. You can start a business. You can scale a business. You can start a side hustle wherever you are right now. You can even pivot your career. And these shows are really meant to bring some of the best and the brightest thought leaders in entrepreneurship, in technology, in health and mindset. And my guest today is no stranger to succeeding against the odds. And so we're going to be hearing from him in just a minute. A couple of quick announcements. Number one, our live event, UME, the Ultimate Marketing Experience Online, is coming up September 25th and 26th. And yes, of course, because of COVID, let's state the obvious, we wanted to have it live and in person. And the whole focus of the event is that we bring together amazing YouTubers, podcasters, social media experts, and you learn and then you apply and you have the coaches right in the room. Well, because of COVID, we couldn't do that, but it's even better. The question I always ask myself is, how can I make it better? So we are going to start the event at noon Pacific on Friday, September 25th, which happens to be my birthday. So it's going to be a really good day. And we are going to go for about 4 hours in that afternoon. We'll go Saturday morning, and we will be going Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to about 3 in the afternoon. And our closing keynote speaker on day one is none other than Mr. Bulletproof himself, Dave Asprey. And Dave has written several New York Times bestsellers. He's the creator of Bulletproof Coffee. He's a successful entrepreneur. And right now, Dave is going to be on an upcoming episode. So we have him coming up. I'm going to be interviewing him. He is so passionate about the newest commodity. And no, it is not Bitcoin. It is not artificial intelligence. It is not some kind of other cryptocurrency. It's actually sleep. And so Dave is going to be here in a couple episodes from now. And we're going to be talking about sleep. We're going to be talking about his new book. We're going to be talking about how to hustle, how to get your brain on straight. So it's going to be absolutely amazing. So for more information, I want you to go to one of two places, either SusanSly.com or Agency8.com. Get your ticket. It is going to be incredible. We're going to give you some amazing value adds. We always do reward people who do show up early. And so you can get your ticket and spread the good news with all your friends. It's going to be an amazing, amazing event. It will help you transform your business. And in fact, here's the guarantee I give. If you apply what the speakers say and you do not make your ticket price back, I will refund your money personally. So it doesn't get better than that, right? It's good or it's good. So with that, I want to share. Oh, and if you are a subscriber to my list, I have all these announcements. If you are a subscriber to my list at SusanSly.com, I don't spam you. I send you out inspiration once a week. You are going to get $50 off that ticket price, my friend. So go to SusanSly.com, get on my list. I promise you it's worth it. And yeah, it's going to be amazing. So my guest today is incredible. I want you to think about these stats. Less than 6% of high school seniors go on to play college football. Of the 150,000 draft eligible college football players, only 253, that's less than 1%, are selected for the NFL draft. The average NFL career is less than 2 years. The average NFL player is 6'2 and 245. That's why I apparently didn't qualify for the NFL, because I'm not 6'2 and I'm definitely not 245 pounds. Maybe when I was pregnant. No, I didn't even hit it then. But, you know, this gentleman, he was the number one wide receiver in Oregon. And he didn't even receive a Division I scholarship offer. He was fast, but at 5'9 and only 133 pounds, he was told he was too small. He was told he wasn't going to make it. And his story of perseverance and going on to play with the great Joe Montana and succeeding in the NFL. And one of my friends is such a fan. I can't even introduce them because I think he might be a little bit of a stalker for this gentleman. But on top of it, he's a human. humanitarian. He's an incredible father and a loving husband. So, and he's also a really good friend of mine. So I want to welcome the incredible JJ Burden. JJ, it's great to have you here.
Hey, Susan. It's always a pleasure. Looking forward to chatting and just sharing some awesome content today.
Well, thank you. And JJ is going to be doing the closing keynote at the Ultimate Marketing Experience event online. And I chose JJ because he's just, you know, he leaves everyone better for just knowing him. JJ, I want to jump in. You have been in a place where you're told you're not good enough, you're not fast enough, you're not going to make it, your back's been against the wall. We're sitting here, today's episode, 56 million Americans unemployed. We have millions of businesses that have been shuttered. The global pandemic is spreading. People are getting furloughed. People are worried about losing their jobs. People are thinking, you know, am I going to be able to save my business? What is your best advice? What's the first thing someone should do if their back is up against the wall and they have all this uncertainty?
I'd say get your mindset right. I want to start there mentally, because you got to get your, it's like mentally, you got to get your head in the game. It's what our coaches used to always say, get your head in the game. And that's another, I think, a perfect metaphor for life, because either day mentally, you're either winning or you're losing. And so you got to get your mindset right, because it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter what's happening around us. It doesn't matter what the odds are. If you're mentally strong and you got your belief system right, the potential to do something incredible is right there waiting for you. But mentally, if you're not there, you're going to take yourself out of the game. So that's why I'd say get your mindset right and back it up with that belief system and believe that you have the power to make a difference no matter what.
Now, I had Jacinth Ivey here, incredible CEO coach from the UK, and her book is about discovering your brilliance. And she gave an exercise, essentially, and if hustlers, if you haven't heard that show, it's awesome. One of the most listened to shows this quarter. One of the things Jacinth said is we all have brilliance inside us. And, you know, she gave an exercise of just writing for 20 minutes, everything you're good at, even if it's like baking cupcakes, you know, do whatever. You mentioned, like, you've got to get your head in the game. How does someone do that? Like, how do you get your head in the game?
Well, I tell you, from a football standpoint, we can only have our head in the game if one is we had mentally prepared. So we did our preparation. We can rely on our previous success because we know we've been successful before. And then it's just recognizing that, hey, this is how I take care of my family. This is how I pay my bills. I need to get out there and do my job, you know? So I would kind of say start there, because no matter where someone is right now, we've all had previous success. We've been able to win in the past. It's not like this is the first time. So sometimes mentally you have to rely on your previous success to build your belief system that you have the capacity to do it again. You know, mm-hmm. So I would definitely say start there, because you know that if you don't believe you can do it again, you're taking yourself out. So the belief system has to be there.
That's powerful. And you reminded me, so I was going through a wall kicking moment last year. And so I just shut my laptop down, turned my phone off, and I got out this cue card or index card, recipe card, depends where in the world you live. And I wrote 10 times, it all came together for me. And I had things like, coming top 10 in the Ironman with a fractured pelvis, meeting my husband, like just all these different things, you know, times when, you know, in my opinion, it was like God that really interceded and brought together. And you know, I have this saying, you know, we work like it's up to us, pray like it's up to God. And I love that, because sometimes we forget, like we're hard on ourselves and we're like, oh, you know, this is going wrong. This is going wrong. This is going wrong. But I love this. Like, just focus on when it has, you know, when you've won before. And does it even, in your opinion, did these have to be big wins, or would small wins work as well?
Oh, small wins. I'm a huge fan of small wins, because success is in the small wins. The small wins lead up to the big wins. And so what I always encourage people to do is reflect on those small wins, because you may not realize those were stepping stones to get to the big goal. You know, when I look at my career, and like you mentioned earlier, when everyone said no, 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 but I knew I was dominated in high school. I got to college, I was dominant in high school, so I knew what I was capable of. I just had to ignore the doubters and stay focused on my plan and show them what I was capable of doing. So, but yeah, the small wins add up to big wins, and I'm all about making those incremental improvements, those small little improvements every day, because as a pro athlete, when I got to the NFL, everybody was a great athlete. Everybody was hungry. Everybody was trying to pay their bills. So it was those incremental small wins from day to day that made a difference in whether you played on Sunday or whether you were watching the game from your sofa on Sunday. So I developed a habit of that over time. And since my career is in it, I'm still knocking off those small wins because eventually it leads to the big win.
Small wins lead to the big wins. I love that. Whether you're playing or whether you're watching. And it's, you know, when we think about it now, just to digress for a moment, because, if you've been listening to my show for a long time, you know, I'm like a huge NFL fan. And I was texting with my friend and former client, Kirk Muller. So Kirk, this is NHL. Don't worry. I know sports fans don't be like, oh, she's mixing her game. She doesn't know what she's talking about. I do. I was texting back and forth with Kirk, and Kirk was my client many, many years ago, and he had been released from the Florida Panthers. Everyone said he's washed up in his 30s. He's done. He's not going to be in the NHL anymore. And he came to me and he said, Susan, can you help me get more playing years in the NHL? And I said, listen, brother, if you do everything I tell you to do, you eat how I tell you to eat, you sleep how I tell you to sleep, you're going to do it. And we got him 4 years for the Dallas Stars. He scored the game-winning goal in OT against Edmonton. And the reason I mention this, though, he's now the assistant coach for the Montreal Canadiens, one of the most prolific teams in all of NHL. And I'm like, dude, what is it like with no fans? And he's going, the players are actually playing harder because there's no distractions. I want to ask you that. NFL with no fans, what's your thought on that? We will come back to this, but I wanted to ask you that so badly. So
I did an interview with a Portland ESPN station recently, and they asked me that, and they said, oh, it's going to be so hard. And I go, no, it's not. Those are men. That's their job. Even if there's no fans out there, you're still being evaluated. They're still watching film. There's still a guy behind you ready to take your job. And so those are self-motivators for a professional athlete. Yeah, you'd rather have the fans in there and cheering, but at the end of the day, they know that's their job and they got to do their job. And there's always that guy waiting behind you. So professional athletes are professional athletes for a reason. Good, bad, ugly, they're going to still give their best because that's what they do.
I love that. And I'll tell you, in pro Ironman triathlon, it is a lovely notion to say you're going to bike 112 miles and you're going to have fans along. I was doing the Ironman in Malaysia and there was like a monkey that ran in front of my bike. That was the most cheering I got. It was, you know, and I used to play lunchtime soccer in this men's league at the Royal Military College. And it was intense. Like I still have dents in my quad from like getting smacked. Wow. And no one was watching, but it was like such an intense game. Let's transition that. There are a lot of people I know say to me, oh, JJ, if only you could like literally come to my house and, you know, mentor me so I would build a business. And there's that attitude that people have that they think they need external motivation in order to be successful. Can you talk about that? Let's talk about the difference. You know, to be a professional athlete, at some point you have to have the internal motivation, and the same thing applies to business.
Yeah, you sure do. You have to be your most biggest fan, but your most honest critic. And supporter, you have to be able to self-coach yourself, because as you mentioned, you know, in sports, I was out running hills on my own. I was catching balls on my own. I didn't have a coach always in my ear, you know, but it always comes back to, we always say it comes back to the why, it comes back to the motivation, what's really driving you. And whatever is driving you, it has to be emotional. It really does. It has to touch you in your heart. It has to touch you in your head, because if it connects with you there, there's no fear. There's no doubt. There's no one's opinion. It doesn't matter how hot it is out there. You're going to do whatever it takes. So for those people in the business world, when they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, I bring it back to the why. I said, the reason why you're doing it is not strong enough. Just because, or I don't know, is only going to take you so far. Because when it gets noisy or it gets difficult, you're going to quit. You're going to give up. You're going to blame someone else because of your lack of success. And so I've always been a self-motivator from the little bitty guy. Just show me what I got to do. I'll do it because I want to be the best at whatever I do. I don't have to win, but I want to make sure that I give my best so that when I'm done, I did my best and I prepared my best and I feel proud about my performance. So yeah, it comes back to the old-fashioned why. Why are you doing it? What is the reason? Because when the why is strong enough, the process to get there is not a challenge. You will do whatever it takes.
You and I'm very internally motivated. I don't need someone to, you know, cheer me on to do anything. My love language, if anyone's done Gary Chapman, the 5 love languages, is like words of affirmation, right? But I don't need it. I can self-motivate. Like right now, my 5K time is like 10 minutes slower than my all-time best. But every week I'm going out and I'm doing a time trial and I don't care. I don't care. Like I don't care about my age. I don't care about anything. I will get that time down and I don't need anyone cheering me on to do it. I think that there are a lot of people out there who don't have that athletic mindset. COVID has really thrown them. Their alcohol sales are up. People are self-medicating more. What tips would you give to someone who's listening to this right now and going, I want to be like you, JJ. I want to be able to self-motivate, but I feel paralyzed. I feel stuck. Like, what would be some baby steps for them?
One thing I would say, because not everyone is self-motivated right away. I mean, that can be learned. So I would say if someone's weak in that area, I would say find a mentor. Find a coach. Find someone who is talking the talk and walking the walk, who's already walked down the road that you're trying to get on. And you can see in social media, you can see who's building it, who's working and who's not. So I would say find someone, because think about this, the greatest athletes in the world, Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, Carl Lewis, whoever, they all had coaches. They all had mentors. So don't be afraid to ask for help. So that's where I would say start. And I would say work with a mentor that can help you put a plan together, because you might kind of struggle with that a little bit. They can help you, you know, assess your goals and help put the steps in place that are going to accomplish the goal. Help get your schedule organized. Like you say, the enemy of success is disorganization. Get organized and then allow them to hold you accountable. Allow them to hold you accountable, because sometimes people need that little something extra. And that's where a mentor can get into place until you can do it yourself. But always have a mentor to some degree, because I have so many different mentors and different professions that I need from time to time. So don't ever think that you're too big, you're too successful, you're too good to always have that mentor, that coach helping you out.
Yeah, I love that. And Harvey McKay, I was interviewing him. He's written, you know, for people who don't know, 7 New York Times bestsellers. He's my mentor. And he's like, Susan, when I was in my 70s, I decided that I wanted to become, you know, better at tennis. So I hired a tennis coach. And then when I was in my 60s, I wanted to get better at golf. I hired a golf coach. When I decided I wanted to write New York Times bestselling books, I hired a writing coach. And, you know, here he is almost 90 and he's still getting coached in something. And I think it's the ego that says, well, I don't need a coach. Right. And I think we all need coaches. We all need coaches. We all need mentors, people who have achieved in an area that we want to be successful in. And I also think if I wanted to be a football player, I'd have a football coach. Right. There are a lot of people out there who or claim they're coaches, but they're not necessarily qualified to coach you in a specific skill that is relevant. Like even at UME, we have Casey Adams coming. Casey has the number one podcast in the world for Gen Z. He interviewed Elon Musk's mom. He went to Larry King's house and interviewed Larry. Like he hustles. He reaches out to 50 people a day, direct message on Instagram, just to book 5 interviews. And he's relentless, right? So that's why I'm like, I'm learning to be a better podcaster from Casey, right? Same thing. If I want to go back in time. A lot of people do not deal well with rejection. So whether they're in some kind of sales and people say no, or they're, you know, they apply for a job and they don't get it, or they go to try and do a business and they're applying for loans and they're not getting it. You have had rejection. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about, for people who don't know, what is it like when, you know, you're saying, I'm going to be in the NFL, and they're like, no, you're not qualified. A lot of people would have quit, right? How did you maybe share a little bit about how you did get into the NFL and how you mentally dealt with that rejection?
Yeah, it's an interesting journey, because my goal was never to make it to the NFL. My goal was to make it to Olympics. I went to Oregon on a track scholarship. I was a long jumper, qualified for the 1980 Olympic trials. But it was the fact that when I left high school, every Division I college said I was too small to play Division I. Go Division III, go junior college. And I was like, because in my heart, Susan already knew I had the ability. I was just as fast. I could jump. I was tough mentally, but they kept looking at me from the outside, and they just determined my success by my measurements. And so I believe that in sometimes in life, you have to create opportunities where it appears none exist. And so I had a plan. My plan was to get to Division I school, track scholarship, and see what coach was going to allow me to walk on for Division I football. That's all I wanted. Oregon was the only D1 school that said, you come run track, we'll let you walk on if you can convince the football coach. And that second year, I begged the coach. I begged Coach Rich Brooks. I said, give me a shot, give me a shot. And he goes, well, we think you're a little too small. I said, Coach, just give me a shot. And he said, okay, you come walk on that fall. So I walked on. And Susan, when I got to practice, I'll never forget this. The first day of practice, there was a depth chart of 15 wide receivers. And I was like number 13 or 14. And there's two mindsets here. One is like, okay, why am I doing this? This is not fair. I might as well quit. They're not going to give me a shot. My mindset was, how fast can I move up the depth chart? Because immediately I saw I got my foot in the door. That's what I wanted. Now it's time to bust the door down. And 2 weeks later, I was backing up the seniors. I was second string. And so I was content with that. I proved them wrong. I'm playing D1 college. I'm getting ready for the Olympics. And it was just, I got drafted my senior year in Oregon by the Cleveland Browns. And Susan, I was like, what? Because I didn't have a great statistical college career. I didn't score a lot of touchdowns. I didn't catch a lot of balls. I wasn't a prototypical receiver. So when I got drafted, I was more curious to see what the NFL was like. I went to Cleveland's rookie camp. Let me go back home, graduate, see if I can make the Olympics. But when I was in Cleveland, the third practice, I tore up my ACL ligament. So that's when everything changed for me. But one thing I learned about sports was this: how to deal with change. There's a three-step process I learned. You process the information. Okay, what's happening around me? You make a decision. What are we going to do? Are we going forward, or are we going to go back to college and see if we can get healthy and run track a year later? And you make a commitment. I made a commitment that first year on IR with the Cleveland Browns that I can play in the NFL and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And once I did that, I just put a plan in motion. Took some time though. You know, I got rejected a couple more times, but there's an acronym, I don't know if you've seen, I've used it a lot. It's called FASCO. It's failures, adversities, setbacks, challenges, and obstacles. This is what we deal with in life. And for me, when I deal with FASCOs, these are my opportunities for breakthroughs. Breakthroughs are when you can make that decision and take your life in another direction. And that's what happened with me as I got rejected over and over. It made me bigger. It made me stronger. It made me more focused. It made me more hungry. And I went on to play 9 years in the NFL. Whoever would have thought that?
Yeah, you get excited by FASCOs. Like, you're one of the only, you're like, yeah, let's dig in. And it is a different mindset. I've interviewed a lot of athletes on the show. You know, I remember my first duathlon, like run, bike, run. And I see these girls, and they're in triathlon, duathlon, you line your bikes up and there's like the elite rack. And I'm looking over there and I'm like, in 1 year, I'm going to be on that rack. Now, that first race, I almost came in last. I'll never forget. I'm like biking up this hill on this borrowed bike. I didn't even, JJ, know how to shift the gears. And this man, he must have been like 7 years old, and he bikes by me like I'm standing still. And he's like, "You're in too heavy a gear for this hill." And I'm like, but I didn't know, right? And then I got a bike coach. I hired Freddie Williams. He was an NCAA track champion back in the day. Freddie was my track coach, and I hired a swim coach. And then I got fast. And then the next year, I went to trials, and I finished second in Canada. And I was like, now I'm racing elite, and I got my times down, and I worked. If that pushing past the pain. So I did a post on Instagram, and I was talking about, you made the promise to yourself, so why aren't you living into it? Mm-hmm. A lot of people, when things start to get hard, or the workout starts to get hard, or business starts to get hard, or they're plateauing, that something has to change. And then change can be, for a lot of people, intimidating and scary. After you tore your ACL, you had to change some things up. And can you tell everyone what you did? Because I love this story. Like, this is like hardcore. And you're like, you made it. Like, you're in French, there's a saying, raison d'être. It's the reason for being. I was like, this is, I'm doing this. So how did you deal with that pain, the change? What did you do?
Well, first thing, and let me just let everyone know, I was crushed. I remember I was crying. I remember as an athlete, I never, ever cried. I remember games, big games we lost, and everybody's crying. I'm like, why am I crying? You know, but when I tore my ACL up, I was sitting in the Cleveland Browns treatment room, and I was just sitting there crying because everything that I had worked on since the age of 15 in track was to get to the Olympics, and it was just shut down right there. So I was affected by it. But then, as you know, I'm a positive person, and positive people can flip it quickly because they see the bright side of everything. And I was like, okay, JJ, this has happened. What's the bright side? And you know what I said, Susan? I said, the bright side is I got drafted by the Browns. They're still going to pay me. I get to sit on IR for a year, no pressure, get healthy, and watch and learn. I said, imagine if every rookie who's drafted got to just sit on the bench, get paid, watch and learn, no pressure. Because that first year for NFL players, it's really tough. It's a big adjustment. And not only is the game so much faster, there's so much pressure. So I didn't have to deal with that. In that first year, I did that. I got healthy, I watched and learned. But I'll tell you what happened was, that's when my belief system started to grow. And that's when I mentally started believing I could play in the NFL. Because prior to that, I didn't really believe I could play in the NFL. But that year got my belief system where it needed to be. And then I was obviously willing to put in the work. So it was a very, it was a tough moment in my athletic career. But sometimes, you know, things happen for a reason. And that put me in the right mental state where I needed to be to go on to have a long career.
I love how you flip the script, right? It's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to get paid. I get to learn. A lot of people wouldn't think like that. And clearly you have worked on your mindset as much as you've worked on your fitness. So what do you do these days? You know, what are you reading? What are you listening to? Because I've also seen a lot of people who are positive for a season, and then they get triggered. They get ill, or they lose a business, or, you know, someone in their life gets sick or something. And they go from really positive to it's that straw that breaks the camel's back. And you know, you've had your challenges. I mean, you and Raina adopted your nieces and nephews. You got like literally a full house. You could have a YouTube show. You know, you've had, you know, more than your share. So, but you treat being positive like workout, like something you do every day. So what, as I said, what are you reading? What are you listening to?
One thing I would say is that I'm still hungry. I'm still hungry. You know, even though I'm not an athlete anymore, I still see myself mentally as an athlete. You know, I still work out. I'm still in the structure of getting up early and working out. Right now, I'm working out in my garage and it's like 95 degrees. It's hot. That's okay. I'm getting that workout in. But I'm just, when I say hungry, I'm still hungry to be the best of the best at what I do. If it's to be the best father, be the best husband, I'm working at that. If it's to be the best speaker, the best, you know, nutritional coach in my business, whatever it is, I don't like mediocrity. I want to be the best. I don't have to be number one, but I just want to give my best. And so every day, Susan, I'm constantly challenging myself. You know, I'm reading different books right now. I'm reading a book by my buddy named Jake Thompson, Compete Every Day. He talks about competing against yourself every day, because every day it's you versus you. It's not you versus your friends, the competitors, the economy. It's you versus you. The man or woman in the mirror you see every day, you have so much control over what you do. So every day it's like, how can I be better than I was the day before? How can I be better than I was the week before? So it's that constant drive to just get better and improve and grow. And so whether it's, you know, pushing myself, I have different coaches, I'm listening and to so many different podcasts such as yourself and learning from others. And so I'm in that mode of just always staying hungry, just trying to get better every day. Mm.
I love that you said that. You're still hungry. Like that's the key, because it isn't easy. Success isn't convenient. Every day, I like that, you know, you said, how can I be better than I was before? So every day what I do in the morning after I meditate and pray, I'll write the following question. How am I further ahead than I was yesterday, right? And there are no small gains in my mind, right? No small gains. This is a funny story. So I won't name the bank, but let's put it this way. So my listeners know I'm originally from Canada. There's a Canadian bank, and my kids needed bank cards because they're, you know, we're here on visas in the United States that we can't get, you know, the kids can't get bank accounts or anything. So last week, JJ, I wait for an hour and then you hit the button, call me back when, you know, whatever. So I hit the button, then they call me back and I'm waiting for like half an hour. Then yesterday I'm like 90 minutes. And then someone's like, Susan, it's a Canadian holiday. I'm like, dang, I forgot it was a Canadian holiday. I'm Canadian. Okay. And I like this morning I woke up and I'm like, I am going to get this done. I am speaking to a customer care representative, whatever it takes. And I'm literally like waiting on the phone, doing weights in my home office. And shout out to you, brother, because my home office is like 74 degrees, not 95. And I know how hot it is. Like if you wait for that workout, it's going to be like 120 in there. It's going to be like Bikram yoga with weights. But there was no way I wasn't going to succeed. And it's those things. It's that tenacity and just moving the ball down the field, so to speak. I want to ask you, you know, you're very, very, very focused at expansion, expanding your reach, expanding your career. And you also mentioned too that, you know, you're going to have detractors. How do you handle, and this is something I ask, you know, anyone who's a social media influencer or anyone who's a public figure, how do you handle it? Because I know that, you know, you're going to get your share of negativity. You have a very active Twitter account. You're very vocal, especially about the NFL. Like, how do you handle it when someone is a hater?
Yeah, you know what? I tell you the truth, I just ignore them. I just ignore them. I don't have time for that. You know, I've heard, you know, throughout my life as an athlete, I've been around a lot of haters. I've heard the worst. I've seen the worst. And for me, it just, I don't let it affect me, because I realize that not everybody's going to understand your journey. Not everyone's going to understand your opinion. Not everyone's going to understand your choices. But you know what? It's not for them to understand my journey and my choice. It's for me to understand them and for me to believe them. And I've always had that mentality, and it's driven me even to this day, that when I have the dream stealers, the distractors, the naysayers, I just ignore them and keep going, you know, because I know what I got to do. I know what I'm capable of doing. I know what's important to me. And I see a lot of people kind of going back and forth with people, and I'm like, man, that's just a bunch of wasted energy. You know, it's like in my businesses I have, not everybody's going to work with me. Not everybody's going to hire me. That's okay, because there's the right client. There's the right business partner out there waiting for me.
Yeah, I love it. There are people who get so distracted with that. And It's interesting to watch, like, even for Avery, you know, my daughter, I think she's received, you know, whatever, like 100 marriage proposals on Instagram last year. And then she's been called like all these things. She has a massive TikTok account. She's managing accounts that total over 1 million followers on Instagram. And she's just like, oh, someone called me this, or, oh, you know, whatever. And then I see other people who are like our age, and it just devastates them.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a saying I love. I heard someone say, I think it was this Lynn Hagedorn. She said, you got to protect your focus like a $1 million suitcase. Mm. And that's what I try to do. I try to protect my focus because there are so many distractions out there. There's different things, different people trying to pull you out off course. And maybe they're dealing with their own issues. And so we have to, like, I was a hurdler at Oregon. I think one of the best analogies, I love the high hurdles, because when you got in that lane, Susan, it was you and 10 hurdles. And as an inexperienced hurdler, I remember looking left and looking right, I would get distracted. I would hit the hurdles and I didn't win my races. But my senior year, I got better because I was able to lock in, laser focus, and block everybody out. And if I focused on each hurdle one at a time, I would do well. And I didn't lose a race my senior year. So I've taken that same approach today. I put my schedule together the night before, and I focus on doing that from day to day. If I got to turn my phone off, I will do that and eliminate those distractions so I can do what I need to do for that day.
I want to ask you about what a day in your life looks like, and just shouts out to you. Hurdling is legit. Like, when I was a national team track athlete in Canada, you know, they like you to diversify. So sometimes the coach would be like, oh, you're going to do like the 4x4 hurdles, or the 4x1 hurdles rather, or you're going to do the 400 hurdles. Cause I was a 4 and 800 meter runner. And I'm like, hurdles, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, it's incredible. And I watch it, you know, when the Olympics comes on, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm just like running, like, just, I'm like a husky dog, just like, go that way. Okay. As long as it's swim, bike, or run, I'm like totally fine. Walk us through your day, because one of the things with this show is we always want to highlight success leaves clues. And as we start out the show, it's like, you know, get a mentor, get a coach, listen to the shows, get inspiration. And you never know when it's going to be the right speaker for you, the right book for you, the right show for you, just continuing to show up. But what does your day look like? Like, you know, let's inspire some people so they can see, like, this is discipline.
Let me just say this. One, I love structure. And it's one of the things I learned as an athlete, as you know. We were told where to be, when to be there, how long to be there, what to do. And I love that structure. And I've tried to live that same way as my post-NFL career. So every night, I start Sunday night, I plan out my schedule for the week. And then every night, I go over that schedule for the next day in case I need to make adjustments. And I'm up early, about 5 o'clock. I'll jump on social media and I might have a strategic post here or there. 6 o'clock, I'm in my hot garage working out. I'm doing, you know, I'm 55 years old. I told someone, I said, some habits just never die. I just love living a healthy lifestyle because mentally it helps you deal with stress. You know, it helps you get through the day too. It puts you feel good about what you're doing. But I usually put in 90-minute workout. It's going to be weights. It's going to be cardio, some abs. And by that time, my meetings usually start around 8:30 or 9 o'clock. And I'm at my first meeting. And, you know, between my two businesses as a speaker and as a health and wellness coach in my isogenics business, I have meetings set up throughout the day. And it's either I am, you know, reaching out to potential clients. I'm doing coaching calls. I do a lot of coaching calls with my team members. I could be writing, preparing for a keynote. Like, I got a keynote Friday, so I've blocked out time to do some writing and preparing for that. I got my wife time. You know, I get that time where I shut down for an hour or two and spend time with my wife, Raina, because you got to schedule that. Because if you don't, the time gets away and you haven't spent that quality time with your wife. And so, and then Raina's really good about dinner. She likes 5 o'clock. She makes sure we get that family time to sit at the table and have those family moments. And even though we only have one child left in the house, we used to do it with all eight, but these are the moments that we really got to spend that quality time with the children. We tell them to put their cell phones in the middle of the table. You couldn't touch your cell phones. And we would just interact as a family, you know, and then it's been my routine, and it's a routine that I stay consistent on. But sometimes life throws you a curve, so don't get me wrong. You're throwing a curveball, and you just kind of make your adjustments. You call your audibles from time to time. But I love scheduling because if I get knocked off track, it's easy to get back on track.
Mm. Yeah, I hear you. Like, that structure, right? Like, that I crave it. I crave it. And when I don't have the structure, it's like something's off in my world. And and we have a very similar schedule. Like, there are no phones at the table. We got all the kids home right now. So it's a little crazy. But it's that, you know, it's that time, that discipline. This morning, I did not want to go running. I'm currently doing like a really deep liver cleanse. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want to run today. Mm-hmm. And it's hot. Like, let's face it. We live in Phoenix. It's hot. Like, you know, at that time in the morning, 7 a.m., it was like 95 degrees. And like, I don't want to run, whatever. But I did it anyway.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Achievers do it anyway with no excuses. Because at the end of the day, the excuses have to be insignificant compared to the goals and that reason why, as you said. So it's just tremendous.
Yeah. And notice what you said. You've mentioned the word discipline a couple of times, and I have. It's one of my favorite words. I think discipline is really the game changer that separates the pros from the amateurs, the talkers from the producers. And my definition, you probably heard it, it's the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it while no one is watching. Just what you described. You didn't feel like doing it. Nobody told you to do it. But mentally, you were your own self-coach, and you got yourself to do it. And that takes discipline. And even in the business world, you know, we don't always have someone looking over our shoulder to say, hey, we need to make that call. We need to prepare for that presentation. You need to do this and that. To be the best, even at your job, you have to have the ability to motivate yourself and show the discipline. And do it when you don't feel like doing it. I mean, like you said, who feels like running and it's 90-degree weather or riding? You know, no, but that's what the best do. They do what it takes.
Yeah, you do what it takes. Well, JJ, I can't thank you enough for being here and for all the listeners. If today's show was inspirational to you, it helped. JJ and I would love a 5-star review. We have many, many 5-star reviews on iTunes. Share on social. JJ is on Twitter at JJ Burden. He's on Instagram at JJ Burden. And you can go to jjburden.com. You need to get JJ's book. And as I said, JJ is going to be keynoting at the Ultimate Marketing Experience Online. And JJ, any final words to the people all over the world listening?
I would just say, you know, to everyone listening, I'd say I'm going to challenge everybody out there who's listening. And in spite of what's happening around us, you take every day with a positive attitude. And you attack your day with purpose, with power, with passion. You do that with consistency, you win, your family wins, your clients win, your company wins, everybody wins.
Mm, I love it. Well, you are an inspiration. I'm so grateful to know you. And again, thanks for being here. And to all the hustlers and side hustlers all over the world, I'm sending you guys much, much love. Stay tuned. We have some incredible guests on the way. And if you haven't checked out previous episodes, JJ, in one of our previous times together, he tells his whole story. And it is so inspiring. If you're looking for that, like, oh my gosh, I could use something that is going to kick my butt, go check out a previous episode with JJ and I. So with that, God bless, go rock your day, and we'll see you next time.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.